Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
This is pandemonium.
Picked off by Leotis McKelvin at the 35-yard line. Leotis, my man.
This is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Podcast again for the second night in a row. Good evening. Welcome to John Murphy Show presented by NOCO for Wednesday night, February 26th. We're back live on the radio tomorrow night with a pretty good show in the works. Tomorrow night, among our guests, we're going to talk with Stephon Charles, Bills defensive lineman. You remember him? End of the year, played fairly impressively. Native of Canada, going to be appearing at a banquet in Toronto tomorrow. We'll talk with him about that. Going to wrap up the combine on the show tomorrow as well and maybe get into a little bit of NFL officiating. So that's tomorrow night on the radio side, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, it is podcast time, and coming up a little bit later on in this podcast, we're going to connect with Garrison Sanborn. That's right, long snapper for the Buffalo Bills. Why, you ask? Because Garrison's coming off a pretty interesting weekend. He finished second, along with his teammate, in a golf tournament for NFL specialists this past weekend down at TPC Sawgrass in his home state of Florida. Garrison Sanborn, avid golfer, a tremendous fisherman, has some interesting thoughts on that and his offseason and on the Bills' 2013 season when it comes to special teams. So he'll be joining us as part of the podcast just a few minutes from now. Thanks very much for tuning in. We are a couple of days, well, actually one full day removed from the end of the combine, and we'll talk more about the combine and some of the prospects a little bit later on. But we'll start with NFL news and a pretty significant signing today. Former Bills offensive lineman Jason Peters has a new deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Peters, back to the Pro Bowl last year, agreed to a 5-year, $51.3 million contract with the Eagles today. He's 32 years old. Peters was going into the final year of his contract that would have paid him $10 million in salary and bonuses for 2014. This new deal puts 4 years on the back end of the contract and $41.3 million, $19.5 million guaranteed, and it runs through 2018. He'll be 36 years old then. That pretty much should take care of Jason Peters for the rest of his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. You recall a couple of years ago, just 2 years ago, he tore his Achilles tendon working out, missed the 2012 season, but came back and started all 17 games last season, including their playoff loss, the Eagles' playoff loss. It was the left tackle that allowed them to put the number 4 draft pick overall, Lane Johnson, over on the right side. Eagles general manager Howie Roseman said, quote, "Jason is everything you look for in a left tackle, and he gets a big deal to prove it. He is staying on with the Philadelphia Eagles, extended 5 years, $51.3 million. And you remember, of course, Jason Peters' story. Came to the Buffalo Bills as an undrafted free agent out of Arkansas in 2004. They made him a tackle. Jim McNally coached him up, made him into a very good tackle. He became disgruntled here with money, and the Bills finally traded him away to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2009. In exchange, the Bills got a first-rounder that turned into Eric Wood. They got a fourth-rounder that turned into tight end Sean Nelson, and they got a sixth-rounder as well that turned into linebacker Danny Batten. So that's what they got for Eric Wood, or for Jason Peters, in that trade back in 2009. He has settled in with the Philadelphia Eagles, gets a big deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Interesting note on the transaction wire late this afternoon coming from the Cleveland Browns. Of course, they have a new general manager, Ray Farmer, and they're starting to put together Mike Pettine's team for him, Mike Pettine's defense. And today, the Browns released veteran linebacker DeQuell Jackson. Now, this is a cap move. He had a $4 million roster bonus coming up next month, and his base salary this past year, this upcoming year, would have been $2.6 million. He is a former second-round pick. He started 96 games in 8 seasons for the Browns. DeQuell Jackson has started every game over the last 3 seasons for Cleveland. 141 tackles this past year, 1.5 sacks, 1 interception. The year before, 118 tackles with 2 interceptions and 3.5 sacks. The year before that, 158 tackles for the Cleveland Browns with 1 interception. So he said he is 30 years old, but still playing at a pretty high level. You would think that DeQuell Jackson is going to wind up on somebody's roster. And I will throw this out there, and this is just me, my speculation, no inside info here. Why not Buffalo? Would he fit here? I'd be interested to pose that question around to a few people here. You know that by now the Bills are kind of looking for a run-stuffing inside linebacker. DeQuell Jackson has played inside linebacker throughout his career in the NFL. He's got good enough size, 6 foot, 240 pounds to plug the middle. He's got experience doing it, 100 tackles. He's durable, has played every game, started every game the last 3 years with Cleveland. You may have heard Doug Whaley, the Bills GM, talk last week about what sounds like a desire on the part of the Bills to move Kiko Alonso outside in their defense. Maybe DeQuell Jackson is someone. I look at it almost in the way that the Bills waited and bided their time and then deep into free agency. Picked up some pretty good guys who contributed last year, including Manny Lawson and Alan Branch. Actually, one of them came fairly early in the free agency period. But keep your eye on that. I think DeQuell Jackson bears watching moving forward as a possible fit for the Buffalo Bills. Cleveland Browns, more also in the news today. The report from Ian Rappaport of NFL.com saying it's not Johnny Manziel that they're interested in, believe it or not. According to Ian Rappaport, he's talked to Browns people at the Combine. He said their guy, quote, their guy is Fresno State quarterback Derek Carr, and they're going to take a different player with a fourth overall pick. They want to get Derek Carr with their second pick, number 26, in the first round. How about that? Most people believe Derek Carr is the fourth of the four quarterbacks who could go in the first round, Teddy Bridgewater, Manziel, Blake Bortles, and then Derek Carr. And maybe the Browns like Derek Carr ahead of Johnny Manziel and would wait for him until the end of the first round. Speaking of Johnny Manziel, ESPN's Ron Jaworski made a big splash today with his thoughts on Johnny Manziel. He was appearing on a radio show in Philadelphia. Ron Jaworski, the Lackawanna native, current ESPN NFL analyst, knows a thing or two about quarterbacks, said, Manziel may fall. I'm not crazy about him, to be honest with you. This is Jaworski talking. I've only looked at five games. Here's the important part. Jaworski says, quote, I wouldn't take him in the first three rounds. That's my opinion. Incomplete right now, but he's not done a whole lot to me. I think it'd be shocking if Manziel didn't go in the first round, let alone in the first three rounds, based on what everybody said. But Ron Jaworski says he's got to do a little bit more work, and he wants to get more information. But right now, he would not take Johnny Manziel in the first three rounds. That's pretty amazing. ESPN managed to get a whole day of programming out of Ron Jaworski's comments on that. Meantime, the quarterback talk all over the place, including Phil Sims, another former NFL quarterback. He doesn't sound like he's very high on Johnny Manziel or any of the other quarterbacks. He appeared on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Phil Sims, the CBS analyst, says, quote, he's not sold that there are any franchise quarterbacks in this year's draft. Teddy Bridgewater of Louisville, Blake Bortles of Central Florida, Johnny Manziel, considered to be the top three quarterbacks. Phil Sims says Bridgewater has middle-of-the-pack arm strength. He says he never saw Bortles as a top five pick when watching him on film. He says he thinks, Phil Sims thinks, that Geno Smith, who went to the Jets in the second round last year, would be the best quarterback in this year's draft. It's amazing how many opinions there are out there. We're still several months away, a couple of months away, what, 2.5 months away from the first round of the NFL draft. Charlie Casserly weighs in on the draft. Former Houston Texans and Washington Redskins general manager, now an analyst for NFL Network, NFL Media. He says that South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney is a better player than Mario Williams was when he came into the draft. You remember, Casserly made Mario Williams the first overall pick in the 2006 NFL draft by Houston, took a lot of flack for it. They were booing him when they thought the Texans fans thought that Reggie Bush should have been the first overall pick. Mario Williams went on to play at Houston and now, of course, with the Buffalo Bills. Charlie Casserly says to Jadeveon Clowney of South Carolina is better than Mario Williams was when he came into the draft 7 years ago. Couple of other notes not related to the draft or the combine. This we kind of touched on a little bit last night. Jonathan Martin, offensive lineman, still Dolphins property. He does not want to return to the Dolphins, according to a report in the Palm Beach Post. A source close to the embattled offensive lineman says Martin, who is at the center of that high-profile bullying scandal, wants to resume his NFL career with another team. In 2012, Martin got a four-year rookie contract with the Dolphins, $4.8 million, but the whole bullying scandal has soured Jonathan Martin on returning to the Dolphins, and he does not want to go back there. And some interesting thoughts from Super Bowl-winning quarterback Russell Wilson, two-time Pro Bowler in his first 2 years in the league. He told the Wall Street Journal, I want to be an owner of a team one day, football or baseball. Russell Wilson, age 25, big plans for his future. He does have a baseball background, you know. Fourth-round draft pick of Colorado Rockies in 2010, then picked up by the Texas Rangers in the Rule 5 draft in December. They have his rights. But Russell Wilson says, after playing 20 years for the Seahawks, very ambitious, He wants to own a team in Major League Baseball or the NFL. Who's going to doubt him after what he's done in his first 2 years in the league? Well, that's a look around at some of the news around the NFL on this Wednesday, February 26th. Thanks for tuning into the podcast, the John Murphy Show podcast. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Garrison Sanborn, Bill's long snapper, will talk about golf, we'll talk about long snapping, we'll talk about his offseason when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Winter is here, and NOCO has what you need to keep you and your family warm all winter long. Whether you're in the market for new heating equipment or looking to fix up what you already have, NOCO is the place to go. Right now, NOCO is offering $200 off when you purchase a new heating system. Just mention the promo code Murphy. That's $200 off a new heating system. NOCO also offers around-the-clock heating maintenance and repair, regardless of your furnace's brand or the company who installed it. Call NOCO at 1-800-662-6776 or visit noco.com/heating to start heating today.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show, welcome back to the show. And of course, Bills players scattered all over, including our next guest. He is the longtime long snapper for the Buffalo Bills, 5 years with the Bills, just coming off a very successful weekend on the golf course. Bills long snapper Garrison Sanborn joins us on the line. Garrison, how are you? Good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Doing real good, John. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. Coming off a weekend at the second annual Josh Scobie Specialist Golf Tournament. Talk about that tournament, Garrison. Who was there? How many golfers did you have among NFL specialists?
We had about 24 guys that came out. And, you know, Buffalo was the only team that had all three guys, me, Dan, and Brian were there.
Oh, that's great. And you guys did pretty well, right?
Yeah, it was. We broke up into two-man teams, and based off your handicaps and everything, and played two rounds of golf. And I was paired up with Josh Scobie, and we came in second place.
You and Josh Scobie came in second place. Who won the tournament, Garrison?
Which should tell you a little something about my handicap. But Josh came in. He came in first.
Oh, okay. So in the two-man team, you and Josh came in second place. This is pretty cool. The tournament was at TPC Sawgrass, which many golf fans are familiar with—the great place where they have the Players Championship every year. Have you played there before, Garrison?
I have. That's about 20 minutes from my off-season house here in Jacksonville. So I've been fortunate enough to play there a couple times.
What's it like, and how did you do on the course? Well, let's get right cut to the chase here. How'd you do on number 17, the water hole, the island hole?
You know, that is the hole everybody looks forward to. And, we were pretty lucky. We had everybody in our foursome was able to put it right on the green, and I bogeyed it with unfortunately, with a long putt, but, we were two bogeys and two pars, so we were pretty happy about it.
It's, what is it, like 137 yards, did I read, that hole?
Yeah, right about there. I think they actually, the pros play it around 160s, but, where the everyday golfer will play around 135 or so.
What's it like when you stand on the tee and look at all that water and what looks like a little postage stamp green in the middle of all that water?
I mean, it's one of the neatest things you can do in golf. I mean, it was just, you get out there, and, I mean, everybody immediately grabs their phone and starts taking pictures and stuff because it's just, it's unreal to see. And then it's a little intimidating because, I mean, there's really not much green you're aiming at there.
Did you, is wind normally a factor there in that on that hole on 17 there?
Yeah, there's typically a good breeze, and then occasionally, there you get some gusts. So you do have to play that a little bit. Usually it's a little left to right.
What, I'd have to bring a sleeve of balls even to attempt to hit that green, Garrison. Have you ever had any adventures there in the times you played that TPC Sawgrass?
Oh, yeah. My first time, I walked up there, put it right on, and parred, and I was like, man, this is nothing. The next time, I triple bogeyed. So, I mean, it's just, I just hit like three right in a row, right in the water. And, I mean, it's just so easy to do because there's water everywhere.
It's probably fortunate that that comes at 17. Let me speak for you. If I started losing a lot of balls on like the second or third hole, I'd be shot the rest of the day.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you actually say on 17, they go in there once a year. I think they dive for the ball, and they make I can't remember the number, but several thousand dollars they make in reselling those balls.
We're on the line with Garrison Sanborn, the Bills long snapper, who's just coming off a second-place finish at the second annual Josh Gobie NFL Specialist Golf Tournament. How did Brian Mormon and Dan Carpenter do?
From what I understand, they did pretty good. I don't know their specific scores, but they're better handicaps than me. So, I mean, they usually do pretty well, and I think they both played pretty well. They said they had fun regardless.
What's it like? When you get together with other specialists from other NFL teams, of course, Scobie, the kicker for the Jaguars, organizes this thing. Do you guys kind of consider yourself a breed apart when it comes to NFL players?
Yeah, you know, that's actually why Scobie started doing this. He feels like, you know, with a lot of positions, you get to a lot more interaction with each other. You see, like, receivers and quarterbacks get together because they need to get some work in the offseason and everything. But specialists, you kind of are on your own. So he wanted to do something where we can all get together and kind of just mingle more and get to know each other and all that. So it really worked out great. And I mean, it's nice. Like, you know, you've got similar interests and skills and all that. So it's fun. It was a good time.
And tell us about the rest of your offseason, Garrison. How do you keep busy? How much conditioning and maybe long snap practice do you typically get in a offseason?
You know, this offseason has been good. You know, some of the things I've been doing, me and my wife, we took our last vacation, just the two of us. We're expecting in right at a month now, March 25th is our due date. So we thank you. Yeah, so we took a trip down to Turks and Caicos for a week and had a good time down there. And you know, been trying to do some stuff around here. Been doing a lot of bass fishing down in the river. And it's been a little cold for the beach, but we made it out there once. And, you know, one of my big hobbies is building things. So I put together both an end table and stained it and, you know, do some, you know, woodwork like that. And, you know, getting everything ready for the nursery. And then as far as, you know, off-season workouts, Seattle put together a program for us starting the day after the Super Bowl. So I took it easy till then, and then we got into it pretty good this whole month. So still pretty sore as it is.
Do you find that you have to snap at some point during the off season before you come back here to Buffalo in April?
Yeah, right now, as of now, I'm still taking it easy, try to give a little bit of time off, rest the arms and all that. But yeah, I'll probably just start up. Me and Mormon typically get together not too far along. I'm expecting a phone call from him pretty soon, and we'll go out there and make sure we're lubricated and good to go come this whole off-season workouts.
Hey, Garrison, I was thinking, we were talking about how you've been around now. You're one of the, you know, longer tenured Buffalo Bills now as you go into your sixth year, and your arrival here was kind of different. You got invited to basically a off-season workout, and you had to make a tough decision whether or not to come, right, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, that was a real tough decision. I almost didn't come. I got the invite, and it was for the rookie mini camp, and I was so excited. And then all of a sudden, it turns out I was like, that date sounds familiar. What is it? And then I put it together. It was my sister's wedding, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I, you know, tried a couple times with different teams and had no success. So I was a little bit skeptical. I didn't want to, you know, just go for a tryout and then miss the wedding and nothing come of it. And all that, you know, I was a groomsman in the wedding. So I talked to my sister and her husband, Alex, and they both said, go for it, give it a shot. So I showed up, I went to the workout, snapped with so much focus, and I was able to get the job. So pays off now. They're both happy I took their advice.
Yeah, just imagine if it hadn't worked out, then you'd have that hanging over your head along with missing the wedding. That would have been kind of tough.
Oh, yeah, real tough.
Yeah. All on the line with Garrison Sanborn, Bills long snapper, as he enjoys his offseason down in Florida. This past season with the Bills, Garrison, was interesting with the return of Brian Mormon, who I know you're very close with. You just talked about how you work out with him. That had to be pretty good feeling after the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season when Brian Mormon walked through the door and you're able to snap with him again.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Brian did so much for me when I got there, you know, my first year, and helped guide me through the whole process and everything. So he's meant a lot to me in my career. Just seeing back, it was always good. You know, I was rooting for him and want the best for him. And I know he, you know, Buffalo meant so much to him. So being able to come back and be part of the Bills again was really good for him. And the comfort factor with me and him definitely was very relieving. You know, when you look at it, anytime you make a change, it's tough because we are so intertwined in our jobs. And
when they said it was Brian, like, oh man, we're just jumping right back into what we've done in the past. If we had a, if I had to adjust to somebody else, you know, it would have been a little bit more difficult. So it's always nice to see that familiar face.
And the other guy you work with, that kind of an amazing way that you put together quick chemistry with Dan Carpenter. I mean, he walks in the door, what, 6 days before the regular season opener, and you two got to work out, you know, how you're going to work with each other. It had to be kind of difficult early in the year, huh?
Yeah, you know, Dan is so easy, though. I mean, he really did a good job. That was one thing. The first thing I sat down in the car with Scobie, he's like, man, Dan really did a good job up there. That was the first thing he had to say. And, I mean, he's just a very relaxed guy, and he just doesn't let anything bother him. And so it just kind of allows us to kind of, me and Brian, to do our thing. And he was happy with that. And so he was able to just kind of go with a seamless transition there.
You know, only being around Dan this past season, just from the outside looking in, Dan Carpenter impresses me as sort of a pro's pro. He handles everything pretty much the same way, kind of an even-keel approach to big kicks or, you know, being shuffled around a couple of different rosters. He just handles it.
He does a great job with that. I mean, it's very impressive. There's not a whole lot of guys that can do that. And for him to be able to just not worry about anything that goes on and just – he says the best advice he got was from Bill Parcells. He says, the only kick that matters is your next one. And so I think that's the way he approaches it. He really took that to heart, and it's helped him out a lot.
Hey, Garrison, we're just back from the Combine in Indianapolis last week, and I actually, while doing an interview, was keeping an eye on some of the specialists. I think it was Friday. They were on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. I think they had one long snapper at the Combine, and he struggled badly, and it kind of drove everybody crazy. I was watching the scouts and coaches. They're trying to watch punters and kickers, and they couldn't get a reliable snap back to him. It kind of reinforced for me how important to the whole operation a good, quick, reliable snap is. And there were some problems that I observed anyway watching the Combine last week.
Wow, that's something. Yeah, that's the nature of the business, though. You kind of want everybody to think it's easy. That means you're doing your job right.
Hey, Garrison, there's talk you probably followed during the offseason of, you know, some rules changes potentially. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but it appears some people are bored with the point after kick, 99.6 conversion rate on extra point kicks last year. Some people think it's boring and they want to change it. What do you think about that?
You know, I've heard both arguments on it, and there's kind of, I mean, it's definitely very traditional, and you get too much away from the tradition of what made this game popular, and you'll run into problems, and you know, that's not a good situation. But at the same time, the point after wasn't made to be that high of a success rate. And some of the things I'd like to see, or I've heard two good suggestions. One is to put a second set of uprights down in the middle, and you've got to hit those on the extra point. I like that one. And then what I like even more is I think we should look at the kicker's percentages right now and see, you know, what percentage do you want the extra point to be at? Whether if it's a 90% kick, find where your average kicker is going to make has a 90% conversion rate. And if that's a 30-yard kick, make it a 30-yarder. You know, if it's at 40, make it a 40. And then that way there is that it brings it back, it brings the percentage down.
Yeah. I heard one suggestion they'd move the line back to the 12-yard line, which essentially would give you a 30-yard kick. That might work, huh?
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I mean, I think I don't see a problem with that. It keeps the extra point there. It makes it more exciting, but it doesn't really change the tradition of the game.
Yeah. How about this one? Did you hear this one? They're talking about one proposal that tossed out there. Touchdowns automatically worth 7. Point afters would be either a plus one or a minus one. What do you think
of
that?
I don't really like that one too much. I just think it does change the overall what the game's about too much and changes the general format so much that it almost makes it a little hokey, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I'm a traditionalist like you. Well, Garrison, congratulations on the golf tournament, finishing second. Good luck with the fishing, and most of all, good luck to you and Tara with a baby coming up soon. We'll see you here in probably a couple of months up here in Orchard Park. Maybe the snow will be gone by then.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and yeah, hopefully that snow will be gone.
Thanks a lot, Garrison. Garrison Sanborn, Bills long snapper, who's going into his sixth year with the Buffalo Bills, just finished second in the second annual Josh Gobie NFL Specialist Golf Tournament down at TPC Sawgrass last weekend. Got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. John Murphy here for my friends at NOCO. Are you a coffee lover? Well, at NOCO Express, they don't just fill up your car, they fill up your cup also. Try a cup of World Cup coffee, now available at most NOCO Express locations. It's perfect for your morning commute or on your lunch break as an afternoon pick-me-up. World Cup Coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop, but they filtered out the high-end price. For a complete list of stores featuring World Cup Coffee, visit noco.com/coffee. World Cup Coffee, coffee done right.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, thanks to Garrison Sanborn for joining us. Bill's long snapper getting set for his sixth year in the National Football League. He does a really remarkable job at, you got to think, pretty high-pressure position. Doesn't get a lot of work, but when he does, they're counting on him, and he does it fairly reliably. Can you name the last poor snap from Garrison Sanborn? Dare you to try. I can't remember it. All right, well, coming up tomorrow, we're on the radio tomorrow night, and 7 to 9 p.m., we're going to talk with Stephon Charles, who made the Bills roster at the end of last year, got an interesting story to tell growing up in Canada. He's going to be joining us on the phone from a banquet in Toronto that he's attending tomorrow night. Going to kind of wrap up the combine on the show tomorrow night as well, and dive into a little bit of NFL officiating news. That's all coming up tomorrow night. We're on our flagship in Buffalo tomorrow night, WGR Sports Radio 550, starting at 7 o'clock. Hey, if you're interested in more Bills news, you can go to our website, buffalobills.com. You can always, if you miss portions of this show, go to buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. Up right now on the website, the video of my one-on-one interview with former Bills general manager Bill Polian, as he talks about Andre Reed going to the Hall of Fame. He talks about the combine, the value of the combine, and the franchise tag and how it applies to Jairus Byrd. That's up right now at buffalobills.com. Chris Brown writes down his top 10 takeaways from the combine. That's up on the website right now. Chris also sat down with Bills cornerback Stephon Gilmore, getting set for his third season in the league. You can check that interview out as well at buffalobills.com. All right. Live radio coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer, Jeff Matthews, the Bills Director of Broadcasting. We're on the air tomorrow night on the radio, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.